speaking this morning from the book of John, chapter 7. Now here's the scripture, John 7, verse 40, just a few verses there, 40, 41, 42. It says, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard his saying, said, of a truth, this is that prophet." Now, they were referring to the prophecy of Moses, who said that God would send a prophet, raise up a prophet from among the people, and him you shall hear. Moses was talking about the Christ, the Messiah. And when our Lord spoke, many of the people said, of a truth, this is that prophet. This is the one of whom Moses spake. And others said, this is the Christ. This is the Christ, the Redeemer, the Anointed One, the Redeemer of Israel. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Isn't it written in the Scriptures that he would be the son of David, born in Bethlehem, and so forth? So, now listen, there was a division. There was a division among the people because of him. There was a division among the people. They couldn't agree. Some believed, some didn't believe. Some said, this is that prophet. Some said, this is the Christ. Some said, he's not. He's the carpenter's son. Why, we know his mother. We know his brothers and sisters. He can't be the Christ. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You see what I'm saying? There was a division. Now, no true believer enjoys division. No true believer enjoys conflict and strife and discord. Paul said in Romans 12, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. We want to. We covet that blessing, to live peaceably with all men. We don't like strife and division and conflict, especially in matters of faith. And then in Romans 14:19, Paul said again, let us therefore follow after those things which make for peace, and the things wherewith one may edify, not do battle, not raise issues, but edify another. God has called us to peace, love, and unity. We're commanded to turn the other cheek. We're commanded to go the second mile. We're commanded to love our enemies. We're commanded to pray for all men. We're commanded to be kind and gentle, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. However, and I want you to listen, I'll be able to answer some questions for you today if you'll listen. However, we're warned again and again and again in the Scriptures to expect conflict and division, and be prepared not only for division and conflict and strife, but for hatred, out-and-out hatred, and persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ. Our Lord said in Matthew 10:34, do not think that I am come to send peace on this earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I've come to set at variance a mother and a daughter, a father and a son. And a man's enemies shall be those of his own household. Those are the words of our Lord himself. Listen to him in John 16:2. He's warning his disciples so that they will not be offended when these things come to pass. He said, they'll put you out of the temples and out of the synagogues and out of the churches. Yea, the time will come. Now, here's the conflict, not with the world, not with those outside, but those in religious circles. Yea, the time will come when whosoever killeth you will think that he does God a favor. And there's one important thing to remember. Where division and strife and conflict occur, there's one point, most important, emphatic, I stress it as strong as I can. One important thing. We must remember, we are not the issue. We must not become the issue. We must not act as if we were the issue. We must not act like martyrs and feel sorry for ourselves and seek pity because we're not the issue. What did the Scripture say I read a moment ago? There was a division, underline these three words, because of him. Because Christ is the issue. It's not you. The issue was here before you were born. It'll be here when you're dead. I'm not the issue. Men aren't angry with me. They're angry with God. Men do not hate my words. They hate his words. Christ is the issue. His truth causes the division. not my speaking it. Listen to John 15:21. Christ said, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Because, good thing to listen when he says because, isn't it? Because they know not God who sent me. That's the issue. I'm not the issue. You're not the issue. Christ is. Men do not hate you. You're not worthy of their time. They hate Christ. There was a division because of him. And listen to this now. The division and hatred was not so much for what he did. That's not the question. Healing the sick. Somebody's always talking about the world hates those who heal. No, they don't. No, they don't. That's not the issue. Healing's not the issue. Speaking in tongues is not the issue. Doing good works is not the issue. Sending missionaries is not the issue. They didn't hate Christ for what he did. They hated Christ because of what he said, what he taught. I can show you that. I can make good on that. Now, you listen to this. The religionist does not despise Jesus Christ for healing the sick or feeding the hungry or even for raising the dead. They don't care if he raises the dead. But the world will not receive his words, his truth. That's what brought the anger. That's what brought the hatred. That's what brought down the wrath of the religionist upon his head. In John 8:37, he said, my word hath no place in you. In Matthew 7:28, the people were astonished at his doctrine. They weren't astonished at his deeds, at his doctrine. That's what offended them. You know the reason most preachers' messages are not offensive today? They're not saying anything. They're doing good things and good works and humanitarian efforts and so forth. They're not saying anything. People are ignoring them. In Luke 4:28, when they heard these words, they were filled with wrath. When they heard his words, that's what made them angry. John 6:60, when they heard this, they said, that's a hard saying. Who can hear it? The thousands of them had been following. He fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And they followed him all the way across the sea. And he said, I know why you're following me. You ate of the loaves and were filled. And then he began to preach, and they all left. Every one of them. When they heard this, they said, this is a hard saying. And from that time, John 6:66, from that time, many of his disciples walked no more with him. What he said. Am I sufficiently emphasizing this point? I'm making my best effort. John 10:19. Listen. There was a division among the people for these sayings. And many of them said, when he finished preaching, he has a devil. He has a devil. They weren't calling him a devil when he was healing the sick or feeding the hungry. But when he began to preach, they said, well, he's got a devil. He's mad. He's insane. Now, let's look carefully this morning at what Christ said. I want to know what it is that brought down the anger and wrath of these people upon him to such an extent. What is it that brought forth the anger of this religious multitude? Perhaps it's the same today. Perhaps if I said what he said, I'd get the same treatment. Because he said, if they hear not me, they won't hear you. He said, you go into all the world and preach my gospel. Men haven't changed. God's word hasn't changed. So if I say what Christ said, then it may be that I'll get the same treatment. He said, the world, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. They hated me before they ever hated you. If the world loves you, woe unto you if all men speak well of you. Paul said, if it please men, I'm not the servant of Christ. And our Lord said, whosoever shall be ashamed of me. Now listen to this. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father and the holy angels. His word. Let's look and find out. What did he say? Now do you understand what I've said this far? I believe you do. It's not what he did. They didn't get angry with him for healing or for raising the dead or for feeding the multitude. They were astonished at his sayings. There was a division because of these sayings. When they heard these things, they walked no more with him. When they heard these things, they said, this is a hard saying. When they heard these words, they said, he's got a devil. All right, John 10:31. Listen to this. Then the Jews took up stones to stone him. Now, brethren, when you get ready to stone a man, can you imagine this? And these were religious men. These were men who held offices in religious circles. And they reached down. They got so angry and so beside themselves and so filled with wrath that they actually reached down on the ground and picked up huge stones and were going to stone Jesus Christ. They were going to stone him, dash his brains out on the pavement with stones. What in the world had he said? The lines evidently were drawn pretty straight. The hatred reached a fever pitch. What had he said? What brought forth this wrath? Well, let's go back and see. John 10, back there at verse 23 or 24, they said to him, they baited him. They said, now, if you be the Christ, tell us plainly. Well, he said, I told you, and you didn't believe me. You didn't believe me because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. My Father which gave them is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You see, I and my Father are one. Then, read that next verse, verse 31. Then, they took up stones to stone him. What did he say? He said, I and my Father are one. Now, they took up stones to stone him, and Christ turned to them and said, wait a minute, many good works have I done among you. For which of these do you stone me? I want to know, for which of the good works that I've done do you stone me? They held their stones in their hands, and they said, we're not stoning you for good works. That's not why we're stoning you. Don't accuse us of being against good works. We're for morality. We're for religion. We're for all these good things. But I'll tell you why we're stoning you, because you're a man, and you claim to be God, and a man can't be God. That's what he said. I and my Father are one. The world didn't then, and the world doesn't now, and the world never will believe that Jesus of Nazareth is God Almighty. A Son of God? Yes. A Messenger of God? Yes. A good man? Yes. A moral reformer? Yes. A Messiah of a sort? Yes. But not God. God can't be a man. That's what they say. God in human flesh? We don't believe that. We don't believe it. But that's what the Word of God says. Now let me show you. The Scripture says that Jesus Christ is none other than God Himself down here on the earth in human flesh. That's what the Bible says. It says in Isaiah 7:14, behold, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which is interpreted by Matthew, God with us. That's what it says. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, a little baby, a little boy, a child, a son of man, a seed of woman. Unto us a son is given, not born, given. A son who already existed is given. And his name, the name of that child and that son, in one shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. It says in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The angel said, Mary, you're going to have a son. She said, can't, don't know a man. Oh yes, the angel said, you'll have a son. And that holy thing, there's no description for it, it's a holy thing, which is born of you shall be called the Son of God. The angel said to the shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is none other than Christ the Lord." In 1 Timothy 3:16 it says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in human flesh." He said he's God. And they took up stones to stone him. Now, you can be a Jesus Christ. You can be anything you want to, but you can't be God. You can be a good fella, and you can be a great teacher, and you can be a healer, and you can be a moral reformer, and you can be whatever you want to, but you're not going to be God. We won't put up with that. The Father said he's God. The Father said when he was baptized, "This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased." The Father said unto the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever." Paul said he's God when he left the elders at Ephesus. He said, "Feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Whose blood? God's blood. God has no blood. He does when he's in human flesh. The angel says he's God. The matter is so serious, my friend. Here's how serious it is. If Jesus Christ is not God Almighty manifested in human flesh, incarnate, he's the biggest liar that ever walked on this earth. Preacher, doesn't that scare you to say things like that? No, sir. No, sir, not at all. If he's not God, he's an imposter. He's a liar. He's an evil man. Because he said, "I and my Father are one." You see, that's what made them angry then. That's what makes men angry now. If he's not God, we're idolaters. And everybody who prays to him and in his name, everybody who worships in the name of Jesus Christ is an idolater. You might as well worship a golden calf if he's not God. Because God said, "Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not bow down before them. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." If he's not God, the Redeemer has not come, because the Redeemer is God. We're yet in our sins. It's serious. And these men knew it was serious, and that's the reason they got so angry. But Jesus Christ is God Almighty, bare God of bare God, the Son of Man and the Son of God, God in human flesh. And that's the way we're saved. As God, he satisfied. As man, he suffered. All right, here's the second incident. Luke chapter 4, verse 28 through 30. Now listen to this. "And all that were in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath." They were in the synagogue. They were in church on the Sabbath morning. This is a gang of worshipers. Turned into a lynch mob, what it turned into. "When they heard these things, they were filled with wrath, and they rose up and thrust Jesus Christ out of their city." We don't even want you in our city. "And they led him to a cliff on which the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong." They will murder this man. Now, they were angry. What did the Master say that brought forth from these Sabbath morning worshipers, these people that had assembled in the temple to worship God and read the Scriptures? What had Christ said that brought forth such terrible wrath from these good moral religionists? Well, they were gathered that Sabbath morning to hear him speak. He'd come back to Nazareth where he was brought up. As his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he rose up to speak. He read the Scriptures. Isaiah 61 said, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." But let's look at these people. They met together to go through their rituals. They met together to go through their ceremonies. They met together to go through their traditions of religion. They were Jews. They were Israelites. They had the law. They had the Word of God. They had the prophets. They had the heritage. They had the traditions. They had all the ceremonies. They had all these things. And because they had them, they felt that they had a claim on God. They felt that God owed them his blessings. They were religious. Their mothers and fathers were religious. They had built that temple, those synagogues. They had kept the Sabbath day. They had given their tithes. They had obeyed the laws that they liked. And they had gone through the motions of religion. And they were Jews. They were Israelites. It's like we are Presbyterians or Baptists or Catholics or something else. We're religious people. And when our Lord stood up to preach, he told them that salvation is not in heritage. It's not in who mom and daddy were. Salvation is not in ceremony, in sacrifice. Salvation is not in keeping holy days and paying tithes. Salvation is not in ritual and tradition. Salvation is by the grace of God. It's a gift of a sovereign God who gives His mercy to whom He will. And who a man is and what a man has and what a man does has no influence upon God's mercy whatsoever. It's a free gift which He will give to whom He will. And no man has a claim on God or a corner on God. It's mercy if God does anything for anybody. And He gave these illustrations. He said, "You're Israelites." Well, there were many widows in Israel in the days of the prophet, and God didn't feed any of them. He fed a Gentile woman who claimed nothing. And He passed by every one of these Israelites who laid claim to all things. And He said again, He said, "I tell you the truth, there were many lepers in the land of Israel in the days of the prophet, and God didn't heal a one of them. Not a one of them. But He went outside of the tribes and healed a Gentile named Naaman. And when they heard these things, they were filled with wrath." God owes us. Look what we've done for God. "Wait a minute, Lord. I've preached in Your name and cast out devils and done many wonderful works. Lord, I thank You I'm not like other men. I tithe and fast twice a week and pay tithes of all that I have and give alms to the poor. Well, I'm not an adulterer. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not even like this publican. I'm an Israelite. I'm a Baptist. I'm a Catholic." God will show mercy to whom He will. And no man has a corner on God. Mercy is sovereignly bestowed. Grace is sovereignly given. God doesn't owe you anything. I take that back. He does. He does owe you something. He does owe me something. The wages of sin is death. I've earned them. I deserve them. And if I'm not saved by the grace of God, I'm going to get them too. The wages of sin, eternal death. They were angry. They wouldn't take that. You see, sovereign mercy offends man's pride. He won't have it. God's going to be obligated. He's going to make God a valet, a servant. But God doesn't owe you anything, or me either. All right, listen, John 8:59. Here's another incident. "Then took they up stones to stone Him." Again. Now, here's that same wrath and that same hatred, so intense that they wanted to kill Him again. Now, what brought out this anger? You know what brought it out? You ought to read the 8th chapter of John. Our Lord wasn't too tender in the 8th chapter of John. He was speaking. Our Lord was always tender to the publicans and harlots. He was always very severe with religious, self-righteous Pharisees. You check up on that and see if I'm not telling you the truth. And here He was talking to a bunch of religious Pharisees that claimed to have a corner on God, and He told them they were sinners. He told them they were in bondage to sin. They said, we've never been in bondage to anybody. He said, "You're in bondage to the law. You're in bondage to sin. You have your father the devil. The works of the devil are what you do." That's what He said. It's harsh, but it's true. They said, "We be not in bondage." He said, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." He told them that they were under the influence and power of the devil and did not know God. "You neither know Me," He said, "nor My Father." He said, "I'm preaching the truth, and you won't have it. Let another come in His own name, and him you will receive, because you are not of God." In other words, the Lord told them that they were sinners. Double-dyed sinners under the power of Satan in bondage to sin and the law, and they needed mercy and deliverance. And they wouldn't take it. They took up stones to stone Him. But I tell you today, my friend, when you call people sinners, they get offended. They're not sinners. One man told me one time, he said, "Well, I'm not a bad sinner. I may be a sinner, but I'm not a bad. There's no other kind." What do you mean, there's good sinners? Sin is sin. Sin is a transgression of God's law. To offend in one point is to be guilty of the whole law. All right, last of all, finally they crucified Him. Finally they nailed Him to a cross. Finally they did what they'd been wanting to do all these years. He was delivered into their hands by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. These wicked men with wicked hands crucified the Lord of glory. Why? Well, let me show you. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, in what character was he accused? They said, he said he's a king, and we have no king but Caesar. We will not have this man reign over us. In what character was he mocked of the soldiers? Now you think a moment. These soldiers took him into the soldiers' hall, and they mocked him and ridiculed him. In what character? King. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They put a red robe on his shoulders and a reed as a scepter in his hand, and they bowed down in front of him and mocked him and said, Hail, King of the Jews. In what character was he tried before Pilate? He was brought before Pilate, and here was Pilate's question. Are you a king? Are you a king? And the master said, Thou sayest. And in what character was he crucified? What was written above his cross in Latin, Hebrew, and Greek? This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King. The King. My friend, he's the Savior. He's the King. He's the Redeemer. He's the King. He's the King. And we will not have this man reign. But he will not be your Savior if he's not your King. We will bow down. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's the King.